Sup, everybody? That's Anthony Sellers.
And I'm Kelly Conley.
And this is Browns in Our Blood. Season finale. Woo! We made it. Browns lost.
Disappointing.
Yeah. 33-23 in Cincinnati. Browns finished 6-10, which is way less than all of our predictions when we were sitting on... Do you remember we were sitting on, alongside of the Mountaineer Stadium with hopes and dreams of sugar plums dancing in our head and the sun... We had sunglasses on. We looked like some confident dudes, man. And now here we are, December. Anthony Sellers, for the last time in 21-9, what are your thoughts on the Browns game?
You could tell some of them were just ready to leave.
Yeah.
I don't know if you watched the whole game, but you could just tell they were just trying to get through this week so they could get till like, what, tomorrow or Wednesday, whatever they are, till they get their vacation.
Yeah. Yeah. So. The defense definitely looked like they were in preseason mode at times. I mean, they let Joe Mixon, who is a very good running back from what we've seen in past seasons, but he had under 62 yards and 2 touchdowns. Something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah. So, once again, the running game was a problem for the defense. The secondary stepped up. Denzel Ward had an interception.
In the end zone, too.
It was a great interception. And it was right after Baker threw an interception, so they were literally trading interceptions. I mean, Andy Dalton was fine, but, you know, it looked like a preseason game.
Yeah, I will say, though, that there was no quit in Baker.
Yeah, I was going to get to that point. Yeah,
not to say, because it definitely wasn't everybody. There was no quit in Baker. Kareem Hunt, you could tell, was leaving it out, you know, giving 100%. Same with Nick Chubb, and I know I'm mainly focusing on offense, but Jarvis Landry, too.
And Odell. That catch Odell made was the highlight catch of his whole season as a Brown. Am I wrong? That was a hell of a catch. Because I thought
that one in week two he made. He made another tightrope one in week two.
Was that a touchdown?
No.
Okay, this was a touchdown.
No, the touchdown in week two was the 88-yard slant or whatever.
Right.
But
I think this was an impressive catch, Odell. Good job by you, Odell.
Yeah.
That's what we wanted to see out of you. I want to bring up Baker Mayfield right now because me and him were watching some old takes of Browns in Our Blood, trying to find some content for when we're not going to be on and stuff. And I'm not going to spoil any of it, but I was kind of worried that, especially after I was seeing the defense, I'm like, oh man, they're kind of filling it in and stuff. But Baker, like, he came out there and he wanted to win that game. He knew they were only going to finish 7-9 at best. I don't know if he was playing out of respect for himself, for his teammates, if maybe he wanted Freddie to keep his job. I don't know.
I think it was all just about, you know, he's just a competitor in general. That's what I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's still, if he's going to go out there, he's going to go out there to win.
You know? Saw a lot of that yesterday, and I loved it. And for so much of this season, I feel like there's been times where Baker kind of has hung his head. And then yesterday, man, he just went out there and he's like, you know what? Interception. Don't care. Let's get back at it. Yeah. And he played hard that entire game. And other than that last weird broken play with him that was like a minute left when he threw that last interception, where it looks like Njoku and I'm not sure who was the other receiver, just was like head up there, you know, where they don't belong. And then he throws that meaningless pick. And Baker, man, I'm still with you, man. I'm still with you. I'm still bait timing. I know you had a rough second year, but I'm still here to see what happens next, man.
Definitely a humbling experience because you can't say that he didn't regress, but you can also cannot say that he doesn't leave it all out on the field.
Right.
Yeah, so yes, he did regress, and there's a whole combination of things about that we're going to get into as to why it happened.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's always putting everything out there, giving it 100%, and trying to be at least a leader on the field.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
He's got some things to learn off the field to be the leader, but he's still doing the same things that he's not changing for anybody. He's doing the same things he did in college.
Something happened after the game yesterday, guys. Freddie Kitchens was fired. So, I mean, there was times when I've called for it, when he called for it earlier in the season. I don't know if Eric ever left the Freddie Kitchens train, though. Did he ever say, I want Freddie gone? I don't think he did.
I teetered most of the season. I think the very end there. Like, starting those last few weeks is kind of like, that's when it really...
Yeah. I think the episode where y'all really went in on Freddie, I think you were off of it. You kind of got back on, and then you were kind of like hanging off the edge. I think E rode the train the whole season, though, man. So shout out to E for not giving up on Freddie, even though the Cleveland Browns organization clearly has. So before I let you get into your thoughts, did I read correctly that Freddie took the offensive playbook away from Monken for this game and that he was the one calling offensive plays?
Freddie was calling offensive plays the whole season.
Well, it was something along the lines of him making some comment about not trusting him. I don't know. I didn't even click on the link. I could be wrong. But I thought that the offense that was out there and the way they played was they weren't playing conservatively, man. That, like, Baker was slinging it. They were taking chances. There was turnovers and sacks and everything, but you can't do anything about the offensive line injuries. We've talked about that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's just, you're going to fumble. It's a game, it's a contact sport. But I really thought the offense was just out there just really taking chances and putting it all out there on the field. Again, going back to how Baker performed. So, do you think that, I know it's not conventional for them to, like, fire Freddie and then bring him back as offensive coordinator, but do you think that if he had been retained as offensive coordinator and someone else had been brought in as head coach, or even if Greg Williams had stayed on as coach, do you think things would have been different? And what do you think about Freddie's firing overall?
I'm not going to touch that first one just because I don't like doing the whole coulda, woulda thing. You know, it's been going on the whole season.
I want to say yes because I wanted Greg Williams to stay.
It's been going the whole season.
Yeah.
I read somewhere on an article, like, that they had him as a possible candidate now.
To come back?
Yeah, I was like...
Why would they do it now?
Yeah, that made no sense. I was.
I don't want him... I'm not saying bring him back.
He's never going to be a head coach again. Like, he wasn't even in any of the... This was, like, another local thing.
Okay.
Like, local media person. Okay. Not, like, the... National. Not like Cleveland.com or either like that. It's, like, one of those stupid small ones. But still, why would that... It makes no sense. If they didn't bring, like, keep him after the interim stuff, there's no reason for
it. Like, sorry we screwed up. You want to be the coach now?
Yeah. No. That's not going to happen.
I meant last season. Yeah, I'm not saying anything about... I have no idea what to even think of the Browns. I mean, it's not even been... It's barely been 24 hours since Freddie got fired at this point. So I'm not even thinking about who they're going to bring in next.
It was needed. I mean, you could tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, the players weren't it. Arizona, there was a player blow up. I think that one was Landry.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next week,
it was Odell. Yep.
You know, then the Joku and interviews this week.
Oh, sorry, we weren't here last week. By the way, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I thought I was going to get with Eric. Eric needed a little bit more time on the IR, so Eric is done for the season. As are we after this.
Not for long.
Yeah, hopefully not for long. But that's why there was no recap of the. Ravens game last week, but go ahead. So you just saw the writing on the wall.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody kind of saw the writing on the wall. It's something that needed to happen. Whether you wanted it to happen or not, it needed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it boils down to at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It sucks to say that because I'm one that I want to see success and I want to see continuity and I want to see continuations.
Consistency.
Yeah, that too. But if it's not there, it's not there.
Who else is some candidate names that you are aware of?
Minnesota's guy, that's Stefanski.
Okay.
I think that's how you say his name. But they interviewed him twice last year.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
And they didn't hire him?
And they were split. Dorsey wanted Kitchens, and DePodesta wanted to hire Stefanski. The run game coordinator of Baltimore, Greg Roman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can see why you would want to interview him.
And then McCarthy, Mike McCarthy, and then who is it? Is he a defensive coordinator in San Fran? That Sala?
I'm not sure if he's
either a defensive or offensive.
He's a coordinator.
He's one of the coordinators. I think.
I don't want Mike McCarthy, man.
I'm
he's not my team. It doesn't matter. I'm going to have Eli Manning as my starting quarterback next year. Watch, or Andy Dalton. Watch. Be like, look, the Las Vegas Raiders. Here's Andy Dalton. He looks like a cat.
Yeah, McCarthy has that pedigree, but, you know, I just don't see it with him.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like what he's done is, you know, with that whole media piece he did,
mm-hmm.
I feel like he's really trying just to lobby for any kind of job. You know?
It hurts when you have a Hall of Fame quarterback that won't vouch for you anymore.
Yeah, yeah. It just, and you knowing that Baker has that same kind of strong-willed personality,
mm-hmm.
I think it would clash a little bit too much. And plus, I just didn't like McCarthy's offense, personally.
I mean,
you wonder how much he's really, like, really taken in and adjusted his offense.
And you won't know until he gets his next position. I just hope it's not in Cleveland, man. I think you're going to have a lot of the same personnel this next season, though, because even...
I think Wilkes is gone.
You think Wilkes is on?
Yeah.
Well, I was talking about on the field because I was saying how Odell came out a few weeks ago and said that he was planning on staying and they got to run it back and everything. Of course, we're in a player empowerment era where anything can happen. But I still say that more than likely you're going to still have your offensive foundation. I would imagine that a certain gentleman named Miles is going to get reinstated into the NFL over the summer.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. And then
that would be stupid if it ends up going more games. I will be pissed at the NFL if that happens.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be reinstated because they let him back into the building.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'll be pissed if it gets if it goes farther, like it goes into the regular season.
I mean, it's been a wild season, man. You're saying we might do some off-season stuff?
We should.
Yeah, like...
I want to, personally.
We're going to get Eric back up to speed, hopefully. And then the draft is in April. So we're going to try to figure out some things. The show's not going away. We're going to figure out some things. And probably about February, you're going to start seeing some things. So
Hopefully.
That's our little plan, at least. Is just maybe February we'll start throwing some things out there.
When we say our little plan, it's our little plan right now. Because, like I said, we haven't been...
Yeah, because
haven't seen Eric, so we got to talk to him, make sure.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, there's clip show stuff we were looking at. And then the Lost Odell episode we still have from last winter. We might put that out. So nothing crazy. But we'll have some content for you in the off season. That's what we were trying to get at. Yeah. If anything real big happens, then we may have to pull up the old camera and get to it. There's a FanDuel League, and I won it this week, though. I won, and I'm happy. I won $7. My lineup worked. And then let's go ahead and look at the most wins for the season. I got 2 wins for the season. I'm really proud of myself. All right, that's it. That's enough for FanDuel, right?
Yep.
Anyway, I'm lying because we got to do total scores. You're a FanDuel champion because according to Eric's rules, we stop at the end of the season. So even if we might play a couple rounds in the playoffs and stuff, this is the final total for who wins the Browns in Our Blood Intercontinental Championship belt. And your winner is Eric Jordan. He came back from the dead.
I took a risk and none of my 4 o'clock players scored a touchdown.
Monster Lung won 21.75 to Anthony's 21.48.
You know what sucks? Is like you guys said, like the risk.
Mm-hmm.
And the players I was going to trade it out for, if I did it, I was going to try to fit Tannehill and AJ Brown in.
Yeah.
I think I could have done it, and I didn't do it, and that's who he took, and that's why he won.
So, you're reigning, defending, undisputed, 3-time Browns in Our Blood FanDuel champion is Eric Jordan. I'm going to give it up for you.
I'm not.
I had no chance this season. He blew it. He's the Warriors in 16. Good job by you, Eric. We might have a couple more contests with the playoffs starting. So if you want to be in our FanDuel League, the link's in the description. $2 to join. And you can play FanDuel with us throughout the playoffs until they shut it down. I think they go up into the divisional round, or they might do the conference round, but whatever.
They probably did.
Come play FanDuel. And then next season, come play FanDuel when you might be the one to dethrone Eric Jordan. Because he wasn't. I wasn't. And that's it. So Browns in Our Blood is brought to you by Monster Lung Sound Vision on YouTube. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. We love comments. We love the likes. If you hit that bell, you'll never miss a notification for Monster Lung Sound Vision or Browns in Our Blood.
Browns in Our Blood.
Browns in Our Blood. So
you threw it at me at the wrong time this time.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
Messed me up.
Oh, well. Yeah. So you never miss an upload from Browns in Our Blood. And then, like I said, we love the comments. Eric is an avid commenter. He'll reply back to everybody. Anthony jumps in there as well. And I normally just read them and like them. Since I don't know how much weight my opinion holds. Unless it's my, like, the emergency pod. And then also, if you like your videos in podcast format, and you don't like looking at our
ugly mugs,
then you can go to hyphenpodcastgroup.com.
That was the right time to throw it at me, by the way.
Thanks. And then you can find the podcast and find the show in podcast format. That's a Morgantown, West Virginia-based podcast collective bringing great podcasts to the people, hyphenpodcastgroup.com. All right, guys.
That's our show.
This has been season 3, Browns in Our Blood. And
3 seasons.
Major injury this season. Eric, get well. We'll see you soon. We'll see you soon, brother. Have a safe trip out of town. He had to go visit. He didn't have to go, but he visited family for the holidays. And Browns, thanks for never being dull.
Yeah.
And Baker, I'm still with you. Freddie, it is what it is. And that's Anthony Sellers.
And that's Kellen Conley.
And this is Browns in Our Blood.
Look, I don't have much time, all right? So let me just say something real quick. My name is EG, and I am the host of 2 shows that are part of the Hyphen Podcast Group. The first show is called Catch the Show. It's a show where I talk about music-related news and pop culture, upcoming tours that you may want to catch shows of, and I tell you about a show that I call it, because it's the number one concert review podcast in the world, and I've reviewed shows from Beyonce to Kendrick Lamar to even the Backstreet Boys. So yeah, that's Catch the Show. The other show is called The Underground Monster. Slightly different kind of show, but still music-related. It's where I cover basically underground independent hip-hop, horrorcore, and the juggalo culture. So yeah, if you're interested in either one, go to hyphenpodcastgroup.com and or go to your favorite podcast platform and just search for them and hit that subscribe button, okay? Got that? Cool. Now let's get you back to the show you were originally listening to.
My daddy's podcast is called Hyphenation. It's the world's greatest podcast. Barack Obama proof. On Hyphenation, my daddy talks about all kinds of cool things. And sometimes I'm on the podcast too. Sometimes he has his friend Marcus on. Sometimes he stays up really late and he's tired the next day. But it's worth it. But he loves his podcast and I love his podcast. So I really want you to listen to Hyphenation so daddy doesn't get sad. He really doesn't get sad though because he has me. All right, please listen to Hyphenation. Thanks, y'all. I love the podcast, so please, please, please try to join. But if you know him.
Perfect. Thank you.
Can we hear it now?
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and comment. This has been a Hyphen Podcast Network production.
They're the bestest. I'm getting paid at exposure.